I've got the, I've got this guy. Let the hate flow through you. Okay.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Your faith in your friends is yours!
That was the most somber reading of that line ever. Let the hate go through you, man.
Yeah. Peace, love, and hate, man.
Strike me down.
Peace, love, and hate.
Peace, love, and hate.
You know, man, if you strike me down, I'm going to be more powerful than you've ever imagined.
Totally. Dude, the odds of successfully navigating an asteroid field are 3,720 to 1. Welcome to episode 132 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I consider Eric Hunter to be among the most powerful retro gaming resources in the universe, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I bring the cold rains.
And I am Chris Swartz. I write the Raising a Gamer series on One More Castle, and after a recent baby shower, I now have enough diapers to build my own castle.
Well, then... Oh, wait, are they used?
Oh, no.
New?
But I'll save the used ones as, like, ammunition for later.
Ah, that's disgusting.
Biological warfare.
Beyond reasonable doubt, that is just disgusting.
They're going to bring you up on war tribunals.
What happens if it rains?
I guess the last thing you need is one more diaper.
Oh, there's a lot more coming.
Get it?
I bet.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, our kid won't decide what size diaper she's in. Growing! I mean, what's up with that? Just stay the same size. Silly baby. Silly
nope.
Baby.
Yeah, how dare that baby grow.
Yeah, boo. Boo.
Just pick a size and stick with it.
Right? Speaking of babies, keen observers may notice that Jason is no longer among us. The reason being, we actually found someone on the site who plays old video games. So we figured, let's try...
Legitimately.
Like, he actually plays video games. Like, actually... So we figured we'd give him a shot. So that's why Chris Schwartz is here. Yeah, he dabbles.
Yeah. Now, Jason's not dead. I mean, I think he's still on this earth. He's just not here.
Can you say that for sure? Can you verify that independently?
I mean, I hope so.
I do too.
I can tweet him, see what he says.
Yeah. Oh, he's probably not going to watch.
Doing Jason things.
He wouldn't do that. Overthrowing
democracy.
No,
he's going to watch. He might not watch tonight, but he'll listen to hear me.
Oh, that's true.
There you go.
Yeah. You do have a fan base. Chris Swartz is
my fan sits on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Swartz, the only One More Castle columnist my wife reads. Good to know. Does she read my stuff? No, doesn't read my stuff. Just Chris Swartz. But
I mean, me too. I only read Chris Swartz stuff.
I should jump on that bandwagon. Stop reading all the other stuff. Just read
Chris
Swartz.
Listening to the podcast. It's all a waste of time.
Because his Swartz is bigger than yours.
Oh, yeah. That's
he's never heard that one before.
Never.
I bet. That's okay though, because that is a good movie. So,
speaking of reference jokes, have you guys actually played any old video games lately? I mean, is that something we've done or?
Yes.
Well, what have you played, Chris?
Actually, played a lot of throwbacks to my youth. I grew up and apparently I didn't realize how many like free shareware games I played on PC, like DOS stuff. So I went back and I discovered all the old Apogee games, like Biomenace and, you know, Cosmos Cosmic Adventure and stuff like that. So Commander Keen, been playing through a lot of Commander Keen. So.
Oh, sweet.
Good stuff.
You really are subbing in for Jason, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that and I mean, I was raised with a computer, so I had a computer, I had a Genesis, and I mean, I didn't really get into the whole Nintendo scene until like the GameCube, so I can't help you much there. But Genesis and PC, that's what I grew up on. Doom 2 was the first game I ever owned, I think.
Oh wow, not bad.
Got that old double barrel shotgun.
Yeah, BFG 9000.
That's right. Yeah, it's a funny story about that gun with that game, especially in the 32X version. You can get the BFG by using the cheat code, but to actually collect it within game, they actually took that level out to be able to fit it on the cartridge. So there's no real way of getting that gun. It's just another thing that's extremely terrible about that port of Doom.
Are you serious? They had to take a level out for the 32X version?
Yeah, they had to cut three levels out to make it fit on the cartridge for the 32X, and one of those levels was the only level you could actually obtain the BFG on. So the game, the weapon's still in the game, but you can only get it by using the cheat code to get all the weapons.
Is it as bad as the Jaguar version for Doom? Because I know the Jaguar, you can't even see anything. It's like all bricks, and then you have this tiny little screen in the middle.
That's bad. The music is terrible. Like, it's just downright.
I've seen
it's
that.
Like whoever did the music for that port for the 32X kind of forgot how just music in general works. Just like, you know, with notes and melodies and... Yeah, things that are what I would consider "quote unquote" pleasing to the ear, like it's really, and it's just so like it's so bad, like because the 32X didn't have a lot going for it to begin with, and then just to put out Dribble like that, like it's such a snap, man, so bad,
it's so bad.
Let's talk about me, for a little bit. I played, for the very first time ever, The Secret of Monkey Island.
Oh, what did you think?
So, The Secret of Monkey Island is a point-and-click adventure created by Ron Gilbert, who was part of LucasArts Games back in the day when they actually had things going on. It's you play as a... Guybrush Threepwood, I think is what it is. Guybrush Threepwood is his name.
Guybrush, something like that. Yeah.
Guybrush, that's what it was. Yeah, Guybrush. Yep. And he's wanting to become a pirate, so he meets up with a bunch of pirates at a bar, and they say, well, do these three trials, we'll make you a pirate. You meet a bunch of people, you see a bunch of things. The neat thing about the version that I got is the special edition version that they re-released not too long ago. So they've redone all of the graphics. There is now voice acting. That is pretty good. Like, there's a couple of parts where it's like the breaks are really funny for whatever reason. It's like the text on the screen is trying to catch up with the actual voice actor. But there is a old school classic hotspot button on your keyboard that once you press it, it reverts it back to the original.
Ooh, I love that.
The Secret of Monkey Island. So I've been playing with this because it has, like, the old style UI was everything, all of your actions, or verbs, rather, were down in the lower left-hand corner. Your inventory was on the right-hand side, and then you just click here, click there. With the new UI, it's, you know, you can roll the mouse wheel, or you can hit I for inventory to bring up your inventory, but it's all a clean screen. Which has taken me a little while to get used to, just because I haven't played this type of game in so long that it's kind of hard to wrap my mind around still. But I also thought it was interesting some of the changes that they made to the game to kind of reflect more like modern times. So one of the characters that you meet is actually the mayor of the island that you're on, of Melee Island, is what they call it. There's a trademark symbol next to everything. It's hilarious. And... in the Redux version, like, she's just very slender, you know, very straight-jawed, long brown hair, plain. I you know, she's, you know, a pretty girl, but she's, you know, there's nothing like overzealous about her. But if you switch over to the classic mode, she's completely different looking. Like, she has very long, brown, flowing curls, and her face is a little fuller, and she's a little bit more chestier. And it's funny to, like, the swap back and forth, because it's only the women that they've kind of changed. Like, most of the men, it's like they've just kind of cleaned up. Like, maybe it was just, there wasn't enough, like, beard, or the hat looked funny, or something like that. But a lot of the, like, the women characters within the game, they actually kind of completely redrew for whatever reason. But it's a blast. I'm having a blast playing this game. Like, the only LucasArts game that I played like this was Maniac Mansion, and that was so long ago. Like, I know the game like the back of my hand now. And having to go through this and, like, trying to think like I'm playing a LucasArts game, which is weird to say, because they break the fourth wall, they reference modern things, but it, like, takes place in a time of, like, pirates and stuff. So it's like, I don't know what the joke is to beat the puzzle until I'm, like, constantly just trying to move things together and, well, use this, now push it and pull it, you know, like, it's just... It was really hard getting into it because that first puzzle was so hard to finish, and that, like, snowballs the rest of the game. It's like, well, if you do this for this guy, then I'll give you this. And you're like, oh, well, I know this guy's looking for what you just gave me, so I'll give you that. He gives me this. Like, it's a... But getting that first puzzle down, like, it was so... Like, I walked around for, like, 30 minutes just, like, talking to people. And I was like, oh, I could push things. I can pull things. I completely forgot I can do things in this game, you know? So, I've got about 2 hours in. It says I'm only 17% complete, so that scares me a little bit.
Nice, yeah.
Because I really want to finish it, but I got a lot of other things to do. So, if I'm only 14% in... And I'm 2.5 hours of game time. Like, doing the math, it does not come out in my favor. But hopefully, I'll be able to... I got a couple of days off in a row coming up, so maybe I'll just take advantage of it. So, yeah, Secret of Monkey Island.
Cool. It's a classic for sure.
Apparently. That's what I've been told.
Yeah. I didn't really play anything else.
What was that, Bailey? A little louder?
I just played River City Ransom some more.
Oh, come on, man.
Played a couple modern games. I've been busy this week. I'm sorry. I can make something up. I played Double Dragon 2.
Oh, how's that?
One of my favorites. Oh, love that game. Love going through it.
Nice.
It's a tough one. Like, on Supreme Master difficulty... I don't know if I can beat it alone. I don't know if I can do it. Because, I mean, I like to cheat. I'll do the two-player mode where you can hit each other. And when you kill the second player, you get his lives. So it's like you get to double your lives, basically.
So it's like
eating. So I'll play that way, and I beat it that way. But, yeah.
So you're sacrificing your friend in order to win.
Right. Murdering your friend because he's only going to slow you down.
Murdering your friend at the beginning to gain a very small advantage, big picture.
I could be an enormous advantage. It's entire lives. It's a big advantage, I think. Yeah, I mean, what's he got to lose? He has no prospects. He's not going anywhere past level 1. He doesn't know what he's missing.
You're doing him a favor. He's in for a lot of suffering otherwise.
Nobody wants to experience the trap room. Barf.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
The jumping, it still gives me nightmares.
Yeah, I'll sit there and stare at the screen for like 6 minutes trying to get the timing right on those gears and some of the stuff later and still get hit by stuff. Like the level where the spikes fall from the ceiling. There's definitely a pattern, but I still will get hit by it once or twice and die once or twice every single time I go through that level. It's just going to happen. So
do you prefer Billy or Jimmy?
Billy.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's more attractive. He's also the older brother, so I have kind of a kinship there with him. He is the source of a humorous typo in Double Dragon 3, where he appears as Bimmy in the text. So it's Bimmy and Jimmy. And he is actually a bigger fan of the NBA, like from the 90s. So me and him talk about our fondness for Sean Kemp and Reggie Miller. And, you know, Jimmy's more of a soccer guy. I've never understood that whole scene.
Football.
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 Yeah. Right. Right.
So, yeah, Double Dragon 2. Love it. One of my favorites. I know Hunter likes it too. We'll have to play it sometime together.
I need to practice.
Sounds like foreshadowing.
Well, hopefully it is.
It's true. It's a really good game. It's a blast to play. So, yeah.
So cool. Classic game.
Play that.
Good job, guys.
Get back to work, you slacker.
Speaking of stuff we would play, we have a retro gaming listener email discussion question portion of our podcast show right now. Email goes like this. Howdy, one more podcastlers. Before I ask my question, I just want to say the show has really hit its stride in recent weeks. You guys have struck a near-perfect balance between thought-provoking, intelligent discourse on gaming and the silliness, cutting-up, and antics the show has always had going for it. Episode 127 may have been one of your best yet. Keep up the good work, gents. Why, thank you. Now for my question. During the 8 and 16-bit eras, home consoles received a plethora of arcade ports and conversions. Some attempted to be as close to the originals as possible, whereas some deviated quite a bit from their arcade counterparts, such as Bionic Commando, Double Dragon, or Strider. What favorite arcade game are you glad never received a home port because the technology available on the home console would not have made a good port possible? For me, it's Data East's little-known gem, Gondomania. It utilized their now-famous 8-way rotating joystick to control the direction of your protagonist's fire. However, unlike Heavy Barrel, which translated well enough to the NES, Gondomania is a scrolling shoot-em-up. So auto-scrolling, combined with no way to do 8-way fire, would probably have been a bad idea. I could see a single-player version using both controllers, but that would have been clunky, not very enjoyable. With modern controllers having dual analog sticks, I'd love to see a port of the game on a modern console, but I'm happy the game's unique control scheme was not butchered for a second-rate home port around the time of the game's original release. That's from Josh Diekman. You can find him on Twitter at MetalFro, that's F-R-O, and you can also find him at Game Boy Guru, which is a relatively new feed he started. Look forward to what he's going to do there. So what do you guys think? What are some arcade games that were so unique you're kind of glad nobody ever tried to port them?
Mine kind of falls into the same realm as like that 8-way joystick. It's XY Bots. Have you ever played that game?
Heard of it. Haven't played it.
XY Bots is it's a run and gun game that's kind of like a third person, like behind the shoulder run and gun game, but you would move your character left or right and control where he fires, but you actually had to spin the controller on its head to change the view of the room that you're looking at. So you're like in this kind of pseudo 3D environment with like robots shooting at you and stuff, and you were trying to make it to the end of the maze or whatever. And then once you go down, you can whatever points and money you've collected, you can use that to purchase power-ups and better weapons and stuff like that. But the interesting thing about the controller was is you actually had to grip it and then twist your wrist to make him actually change the direction of the camera from left to right. So you could get shot from like the right side and you wouldn't be able to know until you twisted it and then you're looking straight ahead. It was a weird idea that fit perfectly for this game. Like,
yeah.
And they actually didn't release the game until it was like one of the Midway Treasures collection discs that came out, and like the GameCube, PlayStation 2, Xbox, stuff like that. And I remember playing the game in the arcade. It was one of my favorites. Still to this day, it's one of my favorite games. And I remember playing it like, man, this game would rock if it came out on the Genesis or something. And I was like, I have no idea how it would work. Like, how could you twist it, you know? And then they released it on the Midway Treasures. And it's like, oh, you just hit the shoulder button. I guess that that works just fine. Yeah, that's
figured that out.
It's ingenious.
It's a really cool looking cabinet too.
Yeah, yeah. So it was It was one of those games that I remember playing in, like, the weirdest spots. Like, it was never in an arcade. Like, it would be at the front of a Big Lots, like, shopping center, you know, or, like, off in the corner, like, a tiny corner of the mall where it was, like, sitting next to, like, the laundromat, you know. But, I mean, yep. I'd pump quarters in that thing, man, and I about lost it when it came out, when they actually released the game. And I was like, that was the pretty much the only, I mean, there's a lot of great games on that Midway, I think it's Midway Treasure.
There's been a
but,
few
yeah, like,
Midway
that was the one. Yeah.
I like it. Strange. I think that something, you know, I like ports, I like good ports coming from the arcade, but to an extent, depending on the game, I guess, a lot can be lost when it is ported. Even if it looks exactly the same, plays pretty much the same, I think the actual, you know, experience of standing at that arcade cabinet and playing and kind of looking and appreciating how, you know, how much work went into building the cabinet and kind of the screen. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said with that whole experience, that even the best of ports is sometimes, you know, never going to be as good as the real arcade experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's very true.
With that I said, mean, though, I did actually come up with one that even if you ported it to, you know, something today, it probably wouldn't be maybe as good. And I assume it wasn't ported because there was just no way to do it on the hardware. So Alien vs. Predator arcade. Amazing. So it's a side-scrolling multi-characters. You can play as predators. You can play as humans. You can play as a kind of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, knockoff guy with a robot arm. So it's actually really good. Extremely fast-paced. You have multiple types of attacks, and you can do, like, super attacks and tag team stuff, it seems. It's crazy. But, I mean, you're taking on maybe, like, 15 aliens at a time on the screen. So, I mean, I'm sure that if you were to play that on a Genesis or an SNES, it would just be so much slowdown, and it would just not be fun at all.
Yeah. So that actually is, like, a legit good game?
Yeah, oh, no, it's amazing. Yeah.
Because I've heard people talk about it like it is, and I thought they were just being sentimental. But it sounds
Oh, no,
sounds
no.
Sweet.
I actually played like through that recently. Okay. Yeah, I would put some time into it. If you ever see one of those, which is probably unlikely in nowadays, but if you ever, you know, MAME or whatever, check it out.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. It's just very diverse. It's like Streets of Rage on, you know, steroids.
Well, I'm a fan of, like, character selection alone. Like, that alone has got me like, really? You can play as Predator or the PO?
Very diverse, cool. too. You can be two different Predators. You can be, like, a hunter and a warrior, and they each have their own different skills. And then you could be a little ninja lady. She's really fast and kind of not so strong, but very fast. And then you can be the big tanky guy, so. Makes
big,
for some really
big
cool
Big tanky
stuff.
Guy.
Big tanky guy.
Big tanky guy. Episode title.
There you go.
All right. Well,
I'll remind myself to write it down later.
There you go. Appreciate it. I, too, came up with an answer for this. For my birthday a couple years ago, a bunch of us went to Galloping Ghost Arcade, and there was a game there. I imagine it's still there, but me and my wife actually played it. It's called Lucky and Wild. And if you've never played the game before, I don't know if there's other games like this. It's the only one I've ever actually sat down and played. It looks like a driving game as you walk up to it. Like, you sit down in the booth, there's a steering wheel. But there's not, like, two steering wheels. There's a steering wheel and a gun. So I drove, and my wife fired. Yeah. Like, one person drives, and the other person shoots. And that was so cool and so unique.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, like, easily, you could play it one player. You could, like, drive with one hand, shoot with the other. But also, obviously, like, I cannot imagine that being done very well at all as a port. You'd have to, I mean, maybe with dual analog where you're steering with one, aiming with the other, but that would be so difficult in my mind. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's a game that, just the experience of actually, like, sitting down and feeling like you're in a vehicle, that adds a little something to it for me.
Yeah.
Sure. Totally. That looks amazing.
But it's something, yeah, it's something so simple, though, you know, like, it's Tango and Cash, it's the Blues Brothers, like, these those popular movies where those buddy cop movies where one guy would drive, the other guy would shoot. Like, who wouldn't think that would be a good idea for a video game? Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, well, yeah. Why didn't it happen sooner? Whoever thought of it was brilliant. I hope he got promoted or something.
And why hasn't it happened since? That's the question. We see that it can be done.
Yeah.
No. You'd have to play it online, and the guy shooting would be a troll, just shooting all the old elderly people.
Just running into the buildings.
Losing points. You know, those online gamers.
Can't deal with those guys. Too spooky for me.
Nope. So, yeah.
So, cool. Good question, Deekman. Good to hear from you. Thanks for writing in. Thanks for the kind compliments about the show as well. We try. We show up every week. So thanks for writing in
every week.
For the first time, yeah, not Chris. Can I call you Chris? Like, what do you prefer to go by? Christopher Swartz. What do I call you?
I guess Chris. Christopher, Jasmine. If I'm in trouble. Not Jasmine.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Chris it is. That's one of those things I should have asked before the episode started. But I'm excited because for the first time in like 2 or 3 months, I'm remembering at this point in the podcast to remind our audience, if you want to write an email to us, please do. Send us your discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. This is an appropriate place to tell you that because it's right after the question we just had, rather than suddenly remembering at the last minute at the end of the show. This is where it's supposed to be. So this is when you're supposed to email us your discussion question. podcast@onemorecastle.com. People have been doing a great job of that lately, so keep them coming. We want just dozens of them. Just roll them in, please. Spam the crap out of us. Do it hard.
Whoa.
You heard me.
You're making me want to email the show.
Do it. I'm going to do it.
Email it hard.
I think we need a music break. That was Mellow Sunday by Aaron White, an original Amiga chiptune track. I'd love to see more Amiga material on the site, or at least some more European stuff in general. So, yeah, check his stuff out. There's a link to that song on the episode page. So, yeah, I think it's just a YouTube video, but yeah, no, it's good stuff, right?
Yes.
So speaking of good stuff, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Let's face it, guys. This is the best part of the show. And just to refresh your memory, each of us, as far as I know, has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice. Then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway your vote, or at the very least will entertain you while we strip ourselves of any shred of dignity we have remaining. 2 weeks ago, the theme was cool inanimate objects, like stuff in the game that you can't actually interact with, but it's cool. Like, you like it, you want it, the best ones. And the winner was, and I'm not happy about this, it was Jason, first of all.
What?
Secondly, this means he has a streak going, and he's won enough weeks in a row now that I'm starting to suspect there's some funny business going on. Like, I think he has a following. Like, I think there are Jason fans who are loyal to him, and they'll just vote for him whatever game he picks. And I normally wouldn't mind. I would normally say, good for him, that's cool, yippee, whatever, except that number three, the game he won with was the Barbie mystery horse game that I didn't even bother looking up the actual name. It's the Barbie game, the horse, the mystery quest. He beat us badly, Hunter. He more than doubled our votes combined. He had over five times
nobody saw
many
the fish then
votes as you, over three times as many votes as me. The Barbie horse game? Wow. Like, we got slaughtered by the horse.
Full
There's
disclosure.
Irony there.
Full disclosure, I did vote for that, but not being on a Jason
bandwagon. You publicly said you did. There's like three people that said, oh, you got my vote, Jason. I was like, what?
I have a reason. If you've read my series, I have played Barbie games before, and I probably will play Barbie games again. So, legitimate reason. Full disclosure.
No, there's absolutely nothing legitimate about any of that. That's all.
Well, like I've said, I'm happy that Jason's not here, and that we actually have someone who plays video games. That's nice. That's awfully nice. And Jason can't win this week. I would almost go so far as to say I'll be happy no matter who wins, because it can't be Jason. So, yeah, tonight
I would like to win.
Well, we'll see about that. We haven't won in a while, Hunter. Like, it's been a dry spell. I won a few weeks ago on a fluke freak week. But Jason's just been steamrolling.
Freak week.
Freak week. That's my week. Jason can't have freak week. That's all. That's all Bailey.
That's all Bailey.
All Bailey. All for Bailey. Tonight's theme is screw themes. We're doing a special guest free-for-all. This is a proud tradition on the One More Podcast. And when we have a special guest, especially for his first time, we just throw theme out the window. And who knows what everyone's going to bring. So this should be fun. Typically, Jason is the timekeeper for the one-minute introduction. But tonight, he's not here. So, Hunter, whenever you're ready with 1 minute on the clock, I have a game I picked.
All right, you made it. You can go.
Great. Tonight's game that I chose, it's a classic in so many ways. It's a classic because it's a great, solid game. It's a classic because it's almost 20 years old now. It's a classic because it ties into a franchise that a lot of us have a profound sentimentality for, a deep nostalgia. It came out in 1998, published by LucasArts. My game for the Nintendo 64 is Star Wars Rogue Squadron. Saying the title makes me feel so good. You fly a variety of starships in various missions that mostly involve dogfights, strafe runs, and just blowing other ships up. It's awesome. Oh, the V-Wing is the best. It's Star Wars Rogue Squadron. The ships have different special. That's right. Go to Plan B. Go for it.
Oh, we're still doing this? Is that what we're doing? We're still doing this?
If you want to. All
right, well, that's fine. I'm still proud of the game I picked. And that game starts now. So from the listener email discussion question that we had actually reminded me of some really old arcade games I used to play that kind of fell by the wayside. And one took me about 35 minutes trying to find online because I knew nothing of the game. I can't remember the title. I only had very vague descriptions such as top-down, isometric, tanks, space. I think at one point I even Googled space tanks, top-down arcade game, lots of fun, and still nothing came up. If this game has a story, I don't know what it is because you're just a tank blowing stuff up. It's Vindicators for the arcade, and it had the sweetest control setup where you had two levers that controlled the left and the right tracks on the tank. You could blow stuff up, find hidden areas, even fight bosses. Vindicators for the arcade.
Hmm.
All right.
Vindicators.
Of love.
I am vindicated.
All right, guys.
Mr. Schwartz.
Yes.
Are you prepared?
Are you prepared?
Mr. Schwartz.
I'm ready. Right. I'm prepared.
No, I'm never prepared, man.
Take a journey.
My body's ready.
Ready when you are.
Oh, my gosh. You can go, please.
The ride up the mountain felt like an eternity. Funny, as it'll take mere minutes to go careening down its icy and jagged slopes. Months of preparation has led to this moment. You take a deep breath as you inch closer to the edge. A quick surge of adrenaline pumps throughout your body as you mentally prepare for the coming drop. Slowly at first and then more quickly do you begin to recognize gravity's immense power. Terror mixes with jubilation to produce a potent intoxicant. This is what you have trained for. Your speed increases as you weave in and out, clearing gate after gate. The finish line comes and goes, but you ski on, free from the shackles imposed by society. Feeling as if you've been reborn, your excitement is cut short by something off in the distance. Something massive is headed your direction. It appears to grow in size as it hurtles toward you. What is that, a bear? No, it's too big. Too fast to be any sort of animal you've ever seen. Try as you might, you just can't escape. It's nearly on top of you now. It's too late. Everything is dark. That's ski free for Windows.
Okay, well, you are clearly out of time and out of place.
Hunter, you're so screwed this week.
But it is a fun game. Like, it's... I should have brought like Street Fighter 2 or something. But when I remembered this game, I was like, oh my gosh, what's that space tank game that I had so much fun playing?
In
the front of a Big Lots.
Yeah, the thing you have to understand about Vindicators is that I am only familiar with the NES iteration, which isn't as great as it sounded like you were describing. So, and just so you're forewarned, I don't have any positive association whatsoever with a video game named Vindicators.
It actually looks kind of cool.
I actually didn't know it was ported to the NES.
It definitely was, for sure. So check it out.
Wow, this looks terrible.
Combat. It looks like combat for the 2600. Is that all it is?
No, it's so much more than that.
It's more than combat, yeah. Yeah. Now, the NES game
the control scheme is pretty cool.
Yeah, the NES game isn't horrible. I shouldn't say too much bad about it. It's not great. That's all.
No, it looks kind of bland.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. You can upgrade your weapon a little bit, kind of, maybe, but you get stuck on corners. And yeah. It's like a you know, the X-Men video game for NES? It's like a slightly more polished version of that.
I have no idea what that is. Never heard of such a game for the NES.
I'm not familiar.
Or do I want to? No, so Vindicators was neat because it took a very simple idea, which was you are a tank blowing things up. And then it started to make tweaks. So it made tweaks to the control. So you had like the two levers that control the like the left track and the right track. So if you wanted to turn left, you could pull just the left lever, or you could push up the right lever to make a really quick turn. You had like your basic machine guns, but you could pick up power-ups to shoot like your cannon. And the cannon fire was the interesting stuff, because as a kid playing the game, the second you get a pickup like that, like you just want to blow everything away with it, right?
Yep.
Only to find out that at the end of the level, your machine gun, like your very basic machine gun, doesn't work. It inflicts zero damage. Like, you can only use your cannon fire. So now it becomes a game of like, all right, well, I'm getting ready to die, or I'm almost out of fuel. I have to get these pickups, but I have to kill this guy in front of me to get it. But I also need to hold on to my cannon fire, because if I make it to the boss, you know, you're not going to do any good. So I can play Ski Free in my browser.
Yeah. Okay, you can't use that as an argument. One of your favorite games you could play in your browser up until very recently. Quake Live. Ha. Moot point.
So, Chris Schwartz. I know it's your first time on the podcast, but you were talking pretty fast in your intro. You were talking pretty quickly, so I was only able to write down like bits and snippets of what you said about your game. So I just want to quote you here. The ride. Funny. Take a deep breath. Inch closer. A quick surge pumps throughout your body. A potent intoxicant. Feeling as if you're reborn. Something massive on top of you. Everything is dark.
Oh, that's...
Your game sounds pornographic.
Are you sure you were listening to the right audio
feed?
Your
game. That's Your game sounds naughty, Mr. Schwartz. Just wanted to point that out.
No.
It's not necessarily a complaint.
What you have to understand about Ski Free is...
That sounds dirty. That sounds filthy.
Ski Free is actually the world's first... The first, therefore the, you know, it's quintessential, the first open world sports game.
It's not an open world. It's randomly generated. It's not open world. There's a canyon of difference between open world and what Ski Free is. Saying that Ski Free is open world is like saying that Minesweeper is open world, which it isn't. It may be different slightly
different.
When you play it each time, but it's not open world. There's not set places you can go to in any free order you want. Whatever. No way.
I could go back up to the top at any point if I wanted to.
That's the definition of open world.
That's really
world
all I've
right
got.
There.
Come on, guys.
That's no, you got to defend yourself, man. It's every man for himself. No mercy here on the Retro Showdown. I don't care if it's your first time. Bringing a sex game. You want me to go easy on you?
Also, 33 kilobytes? It's tiny. It's a tiny, you know, program. So anybody can play it on any computer. You know, so it's very versatile. Everybody can enjoy. Okay.
That's my argument right there. That's it. There's a cat here too.
Okay, think of it like this. All right, so they always say that the best camera is the one that you have with you, right? Would you both agree to that?
Right?
Doesn't matter if you have this fancy DSLR. If it's not with you,
okay, I see what you're saying. Best video game is the one you're able to play right now. Okay, I see where you're going. Go ahead. I'm with you so far.
Right. Ski Free. Right. So Ski Free. And a few others, including my review, a Great Game Day game. That is one of the games that is included on pretty much any PC purchased from, like, 1993 till, like, yesterday. Well, maybe not that recently, but you know what I mean. So everybody had
yesterday.
Ski Free. Maybe not yesterday. But everybody had Ski Free, so it has, I mean, everybody and their brother has probably played it. So
right. It's
great. You don't have to pay for it.
That's why it's called
Ski Free. But is it enjoyable, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ski Free is a good game. It's fun.
What?
Skate free's
is
fun.
Is it though? Like,
it's,
what's
I think
the,
it's kind of hard. I can't really. Yeah, you actually have. There's three game modes. You can do the tree slalom, or the traditional like gate slalom, or you can do free ski or ski free, if you'd like. So that's what I always did. I actually never could do the slalom, the gates. I really had no idea how to do that. I couldn't maneuver the keys fast enough. And yeah, you can do
that's
flips.
That's typically because
so
the controls are terrible.
No, they're really solid. It's just very fast paced.
But you can slow yourself down, Chris. You don't have to go the fastest.
You're using words like solid.
But what's the fun if you're not going as quickly as you can? That's what she said.
That's...
Sorry.
Wow.
Anyway.
All right.
Wow.
So let's...
let's talk about...
So all right, so let's we're avoiding the main issue here, which is Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
Yes. I was just about to say.
Which is easily...
let's talk about it.
Which is easily, if I was thinking of playing a Star Wars game... based on probably my favorite movie franchise at all, it would definitely be a bunch of no-name characters and a flight simulator. That's what I want to play. Give me some Rogue Squadron on my 640 by 480 display resolution. Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
I get this.
That's what. No lightsabers. No Darth Vader. Come on. That is child's play.
Oh yeah, yeah. No lightsaber, just you know, an X-wing, T-65 fighter. You know, a Y-wing you can bomb a city with. Yeah, that's all. What? Hunter? Come on, no yeah. name. What?
I mean, I've played flight simulators before, man.
But have
I mean,
you played that's... one where you can fire heat-seeking missiles out of an A-wing, where you can fly through Bespin?
Yes, it's on the GameCube.
Okay, I didn't bring the GameCube.
I like Rogue Squadron. I think it's okay. I think it's okay, but I just don't really care for the N64 version. I don't think it was as polished as it was for GameCube.
It's a different game.
As,
I didn't
you know,
bring
the,
that one.
The franchise. I know, but the series in general, and I think that it just wasn't there yet. Star Wars games are good, but that type of flight sim Star Wars game really shined. Later on, if you had brought maybe Pod Racer, I would.
Oh, see, Rogue Squadron is a better really game fun. Than Pod Racer, definitely. And I don't disagree. Like the series did get better on the GameCube. I'm down. That's true. But they made sequels because the first game was so good. Something oddly enough you can't say about Pod Racer, or Shadows of the Empire, for that matter. So just you know. It was the best Nintendo 64
trailer. Or Vindicators. Or Vivisectors.
Oh, you could throw Ski Free in there, too. Come on.
No, Ski Free had a sequel.
No. No, it didn't.
It did. What? It did. No, he was... Well, okay. It didn't have a sequel. He was working
right.
on the sequel. Yeah, he was working on the sequel, and then he lost the source code, and then he just gave up. So there would have been a
what?
Sequel.
He lost.
Boo.
So he wait. He lost 33 megs, 33 megabytes of source code.
No.
And he was like, you know what? This whole 15 minutes. Go ahead.
Let me correct you. 33 kilobytes.
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So 33 kilobytes of code that he wasted 10 minutes on. He was like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I can't go back and redo all of that last 15 minutes that I've just wasted. I might as well play a game that's worth playing, much like Vindicators would be.
You know,
the guy didn't get paid for it.
See,
for good
he
reason.
He could have though. If I had lost the source code for Ski Free 2, I would have been like, I'll rebuild it as long as you guys pay me $5 for the game. And a million people would have been like,
sure.
I would pay $5 for Ski Free 2, and he would have been a millionaire.
So you're saying it's a good enough game that over a million people would pay $5 for it? Probably more than can be said for maybe Vindicators. I don't know about Star Wars.
You know, Star Wars definitely.
Vindicators had a sequel.
I will say, though, I submit as my argument, this is an artwork. It's Oil on Panel by Anne Hansen. It's called On the Hunt, and it features Boba Fett riding a dinosaur. This is my argument right here. Boba Fett riding a dinosaur. Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
But is Boba Fett on a dinosaur in that game?
No, he isn't.
And if he is, he's probably
from the original universe that's in the game.
Why does it have to be someone you know?
That's just...
Is Wedge in that game?
Are any of
like the Red Leader?
Nobody knows who Wedge is.
Really? Wedge is cool.
What about Porkins? Is Porkins in the game? Because I'll play it if Porkins is in the game.
Okay. I'll stop.
Rising from the grave.
Red 5 going down.
Did you just say Red 5?
Good job, Porkins.
Porkins was not Red 5.
Wasn't he Red 5?
Red 5 was Luke Skywalker's call sign. Thank you very much.
Who was Porkins then?
I think Red 2 or something like that. I don't know. It wasn't 2. That was...
Damn it.
Let me check.
Porkins. Star Wars.
Oh, he has a real name. That's his real name. I thought it was like a nickname or something.
No, Porkins was definitely his character name, for sure.
His nicknames were Belly Runner and Piggy.
Wow. Yeah, Red 6.
He was Red 6. Yeah. Damn, it was close.
Standing by.
A second guess.
Oh, well.
Stay on target. Stay on target. I can't shake him! Stay on target!
Wow, that was...
Wedge isn't in it.
Anyway.
You know what? There's the stars of the game are the craft. The starships. They're the stars of the show.
Okay, you can have your starships. I will have my tanks in space.
I will bomb your tank from space.
Chris can have his.
I will have my abominable snowmen,
which we will nuke from
orbit.
They're
not real,
it's
though. Tanks are real.
Flying tanks? Those are real.
Skis are more real than tanks.
Tanks in space.
My game's
I have
real,
the most realistic.
The abominable snowman.
What does reality
real?
Have to do with anything, guys? Why are we treading this ground?
This is
because I'm grasping at straws, Bailey. Straws.
Ski
not the cool little swirly straws or the crazy straws. Just regular nasty straws that you get at the restaurant and they put your drink down and it's got the straw but the little piece of paper still on it to make sure that they didn't put their hands on it. And it's like, I'm going to drink it anyway, regardless if you put your fist in it or not, because I'm thirsty.
The one they give
those kinds of straws.
There's a little slit down the side of it. So it never sucks out quite as quickly.
Oh, it's
to.
Nothing but air. that's almost as bad as Ski Free for the Windows.
For the Windows, you know, Ski Free was actually it was ported to Mac, and it was ported to Game Boy.
No,
you're
kidding
me.
They did
it
not.
It was on
they
Game Boy.
Ported.
Yes,
are you serious?
It was.
No, it wasn't Ski
Free. I promise. I wouldn't just randomly throw that out there.
Getting fact checks on
Game Boy Color.
Holy
Game Boy Color
Entertainment Pack.
Yeah.
What? Oh, shucks.
All right, so it was on the Microsoft Entertainment Pack
with Jez Ball and some other excellent titles. So yeah, my vote is going to go to either Ski Free or Rogue Squadron. I don't even mind Vindicator isn't bad, Hunter. Come on, you got a little chutzpah left in you.
There's Bailey.
What's up,
Bailey?
What?
Bailey.
What?
On the Best of Microsoft Entertainment Pack, it also has Chips Challenge.
That was my soul.
Chips Challenge is really good. That was actually also on my list of things to possibly bring.
It's already been brought. So it already sucked. We're not talking about Chips Challenge.
Man.
We can if you want.
Well,
no. No. Final arguments.
I think we should talk about
Sport.
Space tanks.
Why should any... I did not say your name.
Okay.
Shut your filthy mouth. Speaking of filthy mouths. Schwartz! Why should anyone vote for a perpetual exercise in futility disguised as a winter wonderland of skiing fun?
Skiing free? It implies, in the name, the word free is there. You know what else? Free? Freedom? Maybe America? Maybe a vote for Ski Free is a vote for America. Freedom.
I like how you thought it was a good idea. I like how you thought it was a good idea to start with free and then add dumb to it. I like how you thought that was a great strategy there. Like, free! You're free! It means you're free and then you're dumb. That's Ski Free. You're free and then you're an idiot.
America.
America. Hunter! Why should anyone vote for another little tank game?
Space tanks?
It's not even what it's called. It's called Vindicators.
Space tanks.
Okay. Okay. As for me, my final space argument tanks for Rogue Squadron is that it's actually a really good video game. Although I should probably stop using that argument, because it seems like I try to pull that argument out, and whenever I do it, it never works. I'm finally, after doing this for 2.5 years, I have wisened up, and I realize that our audience really doesn't care about the quality of our games. There's some other element of our arguments that's convincing people. I'll have to ask Jason what it is, because I want to join Jason in the winner's circle, so to speak. So I'll have to... Maybe he can be my consultant on how to win the Retro Showdown. But also, they managed to sneak in the Naboo fighter from Episode 1 in Rogue Squadron, even though it came out like 1.5 years before the movie. Like, while they were developing the game, they were able to sneak in. And nobody knew until the movie came out, and then Nintendo Power revealed the code. It was like this mind-blowing... They kept it hidden for so long. So that's another cool little tidbit. That's our Retro Showdown. That's pretty cool. Just a reminder for everybody, we live stream this every Thursday evening, this little podcast here, 7:30 p.m. Central. I want to give a special shout out to our live stream viewers and our commenters, including Valerie Minnick, Brent Dresky, Mega Silver X, Alex Weiss. We had one guy pop in for a moment, but I think he was confused. Is he gone? Is this there he is. The Dustmeister 88. Thanks for stopping by, Dusty. And I think comments stopped loading for me, so I can't see the other ones. But yeah, 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. That's when we live stream. If you know any chiptune artists, we'd actually like to feature new people for the music. So could be your big shot. Just saying. We'll put your music on here.
Sure.
Otherwise, Hunter, is there anything else our audience should know?
Well, even though it is officially over, still recommend that you guys check out reviewagreatgameday.com. We have an entire wall of great games to play.
Good call.
If you're itching for a new game. Other than that, for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter, and if you want to check out what I do, it's just head on over to ericmhunter.net.
Excellent. Eric Hunter, he's not just a retro gamer, he also enjoys indie games, and he writes a pretty good review, I would say. So
I do. Right.
Check that out. Chris, I understand that not only are you a person, but you're also a person raising money for a cause. Do you mind telling us about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. My mom actually, unfortunately, was just recently diagnosed with colorectal cancer, so it's actually really, really sucks. But I'm trying to stay very positive about the entire endeavor, and I will actually be participating in a 5K to generate some buzz and hopefully, I guess, garner some funds for some cancer research at the local Moffitt Cancer Center. So, very cool. And if you are interested, if you want to help out, check me out on Twitter. I've been posting that kind of occasionally. I'll continue to do so. You can find the link on my feed, and you can follow me over at Chris A. Swartz on Twitter. I also contribute bi-weekly most of the time on One More Castle with my Raising a Gamer series.
All right, excellent.
It's the only series I read. So.
It's the only series my wife reads. So yeah, it's a good series. I have a kid now, so I should start reading it every time he posts, rather than just sometimes. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_Legend. I had a couple people ask today. I am working on the next chapter of The Castellan's Notes. So that's fun. And I think we're good. Yeah, I think that was fun. Thanks for joining us, Chris. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Had a good time. This was fun.
Excellent. And to our audience, I would just...
Space tanks.
Yeah, last but not least, I would say space tanks. And then I would say, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.